Okay, so you're in a lecture theatre in Asia. You ask all the students who they know best, Professor Barry Marshall or Kylie Minogue. What do you think they say? Yes, you're on Radio National, and it's time for another science show. Yes, and what's Roy Orbison got to do with science? I think you should be told in a minute. Hello, I'm Robin Williams. Innovation, science-based, the source of most real wealth. Right now, Hospira, a Chicago-based drug company, is trying to set up shop in Australia and do more R&D in manufacturing. But amazingly enough, in a setting where firms like Johnson & Johnson are cutting back, Hospira are being impeded. Lateral economist Dr. Nick Gruen, based at the ANU, is concerned and has written about it in the Australian Financial Review.
Well, they want to produce drugs for foreign markets in which patents have expired. So in these foreign markets, they would be generic drugs. But the form of manufacture of these drugs is really quite sophisticated because we're not talking about traditional drugs which are synthesized chemically. You know, you mix chemicals and cook them and do various things with them. We're talking about what's called biologics, where the production techniques involve growing these drugs, and this is really quite a difficult and technically demanding thing to do, and it involves a lot of skill, a lot of high tech, and that's what they've geared up to try and do.
And is the Australian government helping them?
Well, no. The Australian government is saying that this is a nice thing, but they've got a problem. The problem is that some years ago, Australia introduced, at the request of the large originator drug manufacturers, patent extensions. So patents expire in Australia typically after they expire in a number of other major markets like America and Europe. And something that I didn't know before I had a look at this issue is that patents don't just give you a monopoly to sell in a particular country, which an economist would tell you is 99.9% of the value of the patent, but the property right is drawn much more widely than that, and it gives you a monopoly over manufacture and therefore a right to stop anybody else manufacturing. And so Hospira is in a situation where it wants to expand manufacture, doesn't want to interfere with anybody's patents, but technically simply manufacturing in Australia for foreign generics markets is an infringement of the patent. So it can't go ahead unless it gets this thing fixed by the federal government. If that doesn't happen, the drugs will be made, they'll just be made out of India, not Australia.
And what would that cost us? Give us a rough figure of what we're talking about.
Well, Hospira is hoping to export itself to nearly $2 billion worth of these pharmaceuticals in the first decade of production. Now, I don't like just saying it's $2 billion because this is the whole problem with innovation. When you do something new, there are all sorts of other people who we don't know about who could do this. We have some established pretty good generic drug manufacturers here who would definitely do more of it than they do now. And Australia's pretty well suited, it seems to me, to this kind of activity, and we should be doing everything we can to get out of the way.
Now, what could the government do about it? Because if the patent laws are such as they are and they're reasonably new, it would be kind of embarrassing to have to chuck a yui, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, I think you've put your finger on it there. The cost to the government is the possibility of some embarrassment. Personally, if I was a new Labor government, I wouldn't have all that much embarrassment pointing out that this is the result of some legislation that my predecessor, the Howard government, put in place. I wouldn't have too much trouble pointing out that all of the things I've told you happened in 2004 and the Howard government didn't want to be embarrassed. The Howard government was negotiating the US Free Trade Agreement with the US, and it regarded it as a very inopportune time to be doing something as audacious as actually manufacturing and exporting drugs to generic markets. And so it said, look, we'd rather not be embarrassed. Please don't do it. So I don't think it's that embarrassing. But the one possibility that could be embarrassing is that the government facilitates this, Hospira goes ahead, and then the Americans I think it's pretty unlikely, but the Americans then start trying to stop us do this. Now, if the Americans did do that, they're sort of cutting off their nose to spite their face. No one wins from this. No, there's no drug company in Australia that's winning from doing this. But if they did all that, then the worst that can happen is the Australian government turns around and says, all right, well, we did our best and we got knocked off and they changed the law. What's important here is to realise that the only risk the government has is this kind of reputational thing, this, you know, if you like, you can call it embarrassment. I don't think there's any embarrassment with giving it your best shot. But there is a big risk taker here. And when I was talking to Hospira, I said, guys, why are you doing this when you could get your investment stranded? They said, well, we're prepared to take that risk because we think it's very unlikely. And I think given that they're prepared to put their money down, I think it would be pretty sad if the government didn't do what it could to say that it had done everything that was possible to make this happen.
But if they're already doing in India, hasn't the horse bolted in many ways?
Well, they're doing the chemical drugs in India, and that horse has bolted. These are biologics. These are the next generation, and this is the next. You know, you don't get many opportunities to get on the escalator, and this is a real opportunity. I think over the next 6 years, $150 billion worth of drugs will go out of patent. Australia is in a position where it's virtually impossible for our manufacturers to get hold of those markets at the moment because they've got to produce them the moment the markets go generic, and they can't do that at the moment from Australia. So it's a really serious issue, and if we see it just as one company, you always miss out in innovation if you think that innovation is just what you can see. There is a whole lot of stuff that you can't see, and we have to get those signals, the environment right, for the people who we don't know about to come through and show that they can do something.
Final question. We had a fairly dire experience in the beginning with Relenza. The concern there was, of course, that if you go to America, you get sat on by an elephant. Whereas what we learned since is that Asia could be a fantastic market with its own kind of provenance, with its own kind of culture, if you like. Do you think this would be an opportunity to have Australia as a base for our region rather than looking north?
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think we've got ourselves in this kind of deputy sheriff mindset. For instance, I mean, virtually all our trade negotiation is predicated on the idea that it's in Australia's interests to participate in the American agenda of continually and unjustifiably extending intellectual property rights. Now, we may well want to be fighting piracy and, you know, intellectual property piracy and so on, but it's simply not the case that continually extending patents beyond 20 years, beyond 25 years, that's not in our interests, yet we're doing it, and we're sort of getting on the American side of negotiation in Asia. I was in Asia a couple of weeks ago and talking to some Chinese officials, and Chinese officials are kind of mystified why we don't realise that we don't have to be arguing in favour of counterfeit goods to understand that we have an interest in a balanced intellectual property regime, in a regime that's good for consumers and producers. And that's a real opportunity for us in Asia. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Dr. Nicholas Gruen is CEO of Lateral Economics, and we contacted the Federal Minister Kim Carr's office about Hospira and innovation policy, and they said, and I quote, "The federal government has held a number of discussions with Hospira on their proposal over the last 12 months. It's a highly complex matter which involves a number of international trade obligations and is still under consideration." That's from the Minister for Innovation.